knees. Sister Shell and Pastor Patrick, amen.
Praise the Lord. Should I take this thing off? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. In case we're posting stuff, I'll... Vacation's over. All right. Well, it is a privilege tonight to speak at this marriage discipleship. Of course, we want to make sure that we have this crowd plus as many other people as possible to our regional marriage seminar in September. It's going to be a getaway there in Ruidoso, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But tonight we're going to have fun also. We've already been having fun. Amen. And right afterwards, we do have a reservation at 7 at Macaroni Grill, so we're not going to take too long. But we are going to give you 5 practical pieces of advice to help your marriage, to help your relationship. So I hope you came with an open heart. Amen. Some of you might have fought on the way here. Come on, somebody. Some of you might have fought last night. Some of you might still be fighting right now. Come on. But you know what? Relationships are, that's what they are. They're a fight. But see, sometimes we have it backwards. And it's not a fight with each other. It's a fight for each other. And either we fight together or we fight each other. And you have to make a decision. And tonight we're going to be talking about our topic, I Choose You. We're going to be talking about 5 points about choices. How many know that we make choices every day? Right, some small choices, some big choices, some choices that we make have a small effect. Some choices that we make have a very big effect on the trajectory and the future of our lives going forward. And so tonight we're going to be talking about choices. And you know, when you look at marriage, we all heard of the statistic that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And that statistic is also with born-again believers. That is a overall statistic involving Christians. And 27% of those that get divorced had already been divorced before. So we know it's a cycle. It's a cycle. But how many know that we need to get a firm grasp on the design of marriage because God was the one that put marriage in place? And so once we look at marriage the way God looks at marriage and not how the world says marriage is supposed to be and not invite in the advice from people that are going to bring you down and want to see you fail, then we're able to make the right choices. When we look to the Word of God, when we look to our leaders, when we look to people that have been there before, we're able to make the correct choices involving our relationships. Amen. And so we're going to talk about 5 quick points, but I hope they're long-lasting points in your life. And when you can reflect back and maybe when you're going through a kind of tough time that you'll be able to lean on. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to my wife for our first point, and she'll take it from there.
All right. So first off, we're excited to be here, and we're not speaking because we have like the perfect, flawless marriage, amen. So just take that out of your mind, because we're human, just like everybody else, amen. And of course, we want to thank our pastors for allowing us the opportunity to invest into their church, and it's a really big privilege for us to do that. And the first point we want to talk about, sorry. Off my phone, sorry. So the first thing, like the title says, I choose you. And we're going to talk about the things that we need to choose in a marriage. So the first thing, and it may be like, oh, okay, that's pretty obvious, but let's talk about it. So the first thing we need to choose is I choose to love. The Bible reads 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Of course, it's the famous love scripture. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It does not easily anger. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always hopes, always perseveres. And I wanted to read that. The first things, of course, we want to key in is love. And the definition of love, right, as a noun, is an intense feeling of deep affection. An intense feeling of deep affection. And a verb is to feel a deep romantic sexual attachment to someone. Now love, so in that definition, as I was reading this, the key word that stood out to me was intense, an intense feeling. And sometimes we need to be reminded, even though if we've only been married 8 months, 12 years, 25 years, we need to be reminded of that intense feeling of love. Amen. So sometimes we just got to remember the feeling. You got to remember what it was like waiting for his phone call. Amen. You got to remember what it was like when you were chasing after her, right? We got to remember these feelings. We got to remember the dreams, the things we used to share before we were married, and all the plans and all the things we would talk about, and just that feeling of love and that intense emotion. Amen. Because sometimes, just like a new car, how many know, wear and tear begins to happen. First, I'm excited. My new car. Don't eat it here, right? We have that new car smell, like all that. And that could be sometimes like marriage, right? We're newlyweds. We're excited to be newlyweds. Man, we get to do what we want, when we want, right? We all these things, it's an excitement in the air. Love is still in the air. But just like a used car or a new car becomes used, it's real easy to become familiar. It's real easy to start allowing, okay, you can drink a soda in my car, it's all right. But then little by little, right, my car gets trashed. You have kids. It's like, I can't keep this thing clean. Same way in a sense with our marriage. It can become real easy to become familiar with each other. And with familiarity can come disrespect. So I'm going to talk about a few things when we're just familiar with each other, the things that could come into our marriage. And one is disrespect. We can begin to disrespect each other and not care and just say things like, who cares? Whatever. Right? We can be disrespectful to each other. We can start feeling a feeling of not feeling loved and wanted by each other. And again, this is because familiarity steps in. It's two becoming undone instead of two becoming one. We begin to separate. And we can come undone instead of allowing God to make us one. Separating slowly. And also, we can take for granted each other. And basically what it means is we fail to properly appreciate each other. Because how many know, I don't know about you, but my spouse, he works hard. Not just at work, not just to provide for us, but also in the ministry. He gives his life to his family, and sometimes I may underappreciate, or I don't say the things I need to as a wife to build that. And we don't tell each other. We don't, you know, we just, whatever, we become familiar. And anyway, so talking about love, we need to choose love. And the first opening of that scripture says love is patient and love is kind. And I think with all of these things being said, is we need to learn what it said is patience. Patience, it seems so simple. What the definition of it is, able to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we could just be super annoyed with our spouse. I mean, I know I'm the only one, right? We start going through it, and you're just like, you just bug me. Like, leave me alone. It's not all the time, all right? Amen, it's not all the time. But there's times in your life where you just start feeling annoyed. And I'm going to tell you that it's normal because we're human people, right? Again, that two becoming one. We're trying to become one. But sometimes we just begin to go through those changes and little things annoy us. But again, when love steps in, we learn how to have patience. Key word is learn. We're not born with patience. Amen? We're not born with it. It's something that's to be learned. So learning to be patient. And basically, we got to learn how to change. We got to learn. Because we're going to talk more about it later, but we have to learn to change for each other. Because if we love each other, we're going to learn to be patient with each other. Yes, we get annoyed. Yes, we go through stuff. And it's going to happen because this is life. So anyways, we got to choose to love.
Amen. I think with just to add a little something to that, how many know that when you first fall in love, it's like a, it's like a feeling, right? It's like something you feel, and Sister Michelle was saying, like it's an intense feeling. But how many know that even when you don't feel it, love is not just a feeling? And that's why we're talking about how it has to be a choice. That no matter if you feel like loving today or not, right? You have to make a decision. A decision, say, I love this person. This is my wife, or this is your husband. I have to make the decision. And, you know, past feelings, there comes commitment. There comes being together. Amen. The second point we want to make tonight, not just you have to choose to love, but you have to choose to leave. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so the second decision that we have to make is, if you ever walk into a place, and this happens all the time to me because I love ice cream. I so love ice cream. Like, it's a problem. It's a problem. And so, but every once in a while, right, I'll be in the McDonald's drive-thru, and I don't know why their ice cream machine goes down all the time, right? But I'll be in the McDonald's drive-thru, I'll order a cone, right? It's not an expensive habit, it's just a buck, right? Until, like, you go to Baskin-Robbins, and, you know, I could throw some money down on some ice cream. Anyways, let's move past that. So, and then they say our ice cream machine is out of order. And you're like, this is McDonald's. How could this be out of order, right? Yeah, I get really upset. And there's cars in front of me, cars behind. I can't get out of line right now. Would you like an apple pie instead? No, I would not like an apple pie instead. I came here for some ice cream, right? And so the term is kind of a funny term. What does that term mean? It means it's broken, right? The term out of order means it's broken. And just like the ice cream machine, if you have your marriage out of order, it's broken, right? And the order of God is God first, right? So let's focus on that for a second. If God's not in your relationship, it's not going to work. You'll be able to take it for a while, right? But there's going to come a point in time where you're in the drive-thru and you're not going to get ice cream, right? If you don't have God in your life, sooner or later it's going to break without God. Right? So God first. But then the second thing, this is where a lot of people, they get it wrong. The second is your spouse. It's not your mom who took care of you all your life. It's not your dad. It's not even your pastor or your leader. It's your spouse. It's not even your kids. It's your spouse. Right? And if you don't put your spouse the position that God has ordered for you to have your spouse, then you're going to be out of order, and it's going to be broken. Things not when you every time you get in a fight, you always run and talk to everybody, right? You always side with, you know, your mom comes over and it's like, and you side with your mom over your wife, right? Or whatever the case is, and it's like anybody can you take everybody else's advice, but you can't take your wife's advice. Right? So it's a very important part. And here in Ephesians, it says that on purpose. A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And it says, then it goes on to say, and the two shall become one flesh. And it's so important that we understand that we are no longer living our own lives. When you are married before God, and you said your vows before God, it is not about you anymore. You are now one flesh. God has put you guys together, right? God has put you guys together so you can't make decisions based on you, right? There is no you. You have become us, right? And so as two has become one, how many know that we're all on the same team? This is not a... You know, you moved from singles tennis to doubles tennis, right? You moved from bowling, right, to basketball, right? You're no longer in a single athlete sport. You are now a duet. No, you're now a double. You know what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 4. No, I apologize. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And I like verse 12 the most. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Amen. So point number two is you have to leave. You have to leave, and with your wife, you have to become a team. Put your wife first. Wife, put your husband first. God, then your spouse. Amen.
The next point we want to talk about is I choose to compromise. And this is a big one in marriage, because this is 99.9% of your arguments. I don't know. Okay. So I want to read the definition of compromise. So it says to settle a dispute by mutual concession. In other words, to come to an understanding, to find the middle ground. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, is live in harmony with one another. And I know here there's a lot that Paul says there. He's talking to the church. But how much more our home, how much more our household, that we should live in harmony together. And there's, like he said, there's so many decisions we're going to make on a daily as a married couple. There's so many things we decide together. There's so many things we do together. And a lot of times, again, living in harmony, right? Sometimes it doesn't feel like we're in harmony. It feels like a chaotic mess up in here. Like, you know, everything starts just going wrong, or, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel like we are in harmony. So I want to talk about how do we keep harmony in our home. And again, we're talking about compromise. And the fight isn't over who's right, amen, but how can we solve the problem at hand? It's not always about who is right, because sometimes we're fighting a fight it's just like empty air. It's like we're fighting over what? To be right? So the first thing I want to talk about is when it comes to compromise is conflict. You will have conflict. It's going to happen. Okay. You're going to have issues that are going to come up, and it's going to feel like conflict. You're going to start butting heads. You're going to not agree with each other. And again, that's normal, but are we picking our battles? We hear this a lot because there's things we can fight about. If you want to fight about the food, fight about food. But really, what is that going to do for you in the long, right? It's like pick your battles. When conflicts arise, don't fight over those. Just some things you just got to brush off. Amen. That's not a big deal. We'll let that one go. Instead of starting World War III about the socks, about the food, about the dog, calm down, everybody. Amen. And sometimes conflict can be created because we're taking out the day on our spouse. We had a bad day at work, right? We have the family. Sometimes some of us are picking up the kids, doing all these things. The kids ain't listening. I'm on crazy mode right now, so anything that comes my way, you know. Sometimes we're just in those modes, and sometimes we begin to take it out on our spouse or ministry. We're doing things for the Lord, and this is going wrong, and all these things just start happening. And a lot of times we tend to begin to take things out on our spouse. And again, I'm talking about conflict, and we really have to pick our battles. The second thing under compromising is communication. Communication is so key. You have to be able to communicate. And communicate doesn't mean you sit and I bark commands at you. That is not communication. Amen. Communication is we talk and we listen to each other. Look at your spouse and say, talk and listen. It goes both ways. We have to learn how to talk and listen to each other. Because sometimes we're like trying to push. This is, you're not listening to me. You don't understand what I'm saying, right? And you can feel that then tension. And again, we boom, explosion. So we need to learn how to communicate. If we want to learn how to compromise, the first thing is communication. Listen to understand. Don't listen to come up with a comeback. There's a different attitude there. Because I can listen to you, but I'm just waiting for you to stop talking so I can just come at you, right? That ain't going to help nobody. That ain't going to help nobody, and we're going to stay stuck on whatever we're stuck on. So listen to understand your spouse. The third thing is consider your spouse. And I think sometimes here's where we go wrong, where we're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting the battle to be right. We're not considering our spouse. We need to learn how to consider our spouse. Consider what? Well, their needs and wants. Right? We got to consider what they need. Consider what they want. Consider, again, understand each other. Like he said earlier, it's not about me, but us. It's about us. Whatever's before us, how are we going to solve this? And then another thing is submission. Because I know the Word of God says that as women, we submit to our husbands, right? And as husbands, we love our wives as Christ loved the church. But even those two words, submission and love, it doesn't mean that everything revolves around us, right? Submission doesn't mean that. Neither does love. We have to come to that point where we meet each other's needs. We meet each other's needs. Sometimes you think, well, if I do that, I'm going to get the shorter end of the stick, right? Or if I do that, I'm going to be the one always giving and never receiving. And it's, we got to come to that place where we consider our spouse. We understand them. We meet the needs of each other. And then sometimes even beyond that, I'm going to say this, because sometimes we need counseling. We need counseling. We cannot do this on our own. The times where we have marital issues, problems, whether it's in our marriage or parenting, whatever, like we need counseling sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with counseling. Sometimes I think married couples feel like that's like, I don't know, like a bad word or something. Like, oh no, counseling, we're good. You know, we don't need nobody. But sometimes we need people to help us to be open and honest and humble with. Man, we need to just, this is where I'm at. This is where we're having a problem and we can't seem to get over it. Every time this comes around, here we go, right? And there's nothing wrong with getting a couple, man, hey, we need help. Can you counsel us? I just want to put that out there because sometimes even though we do these things, we communicate, we do these things. And sometimes there's just some issues that we face that we just still, you know, we can't get through this. So I want to encourage you. If you go through that, counseling is not a bad word. It's not a bad thing. It's just like any other thing. If you were learning to, whatever, play sports, you want to better yourself, you sign up for certain things. You do certain things to condition yourself, right? It's the same in our marriage. Our marriage should be one of the highest, you know, ranking things in our lives, that if there's something going wrong, then we need to fix this. Because this is for life, right? And we don't want, again, if we don't want a life of walking on eggshells and, you know, all the elephants in the room, it's like, it's not even comfortable at home. Because sometimes it can get crazy. We have to learn how to talk. We have to learn how to open our lives to somebody that can help us. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Since she took all of our time, we're going to pray. Just kidding. That was a joke. Amen. So, not only do we have to choose to love, choose to leave, choose to compromise, but next we have to choose to stand. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." And how many know that trials are going to come, right? Storms of life happen. It's not always going to be, the mountaintops. There's going to be mountaintops and there's going to be valleys. But one of the things that we have to choose to do is in our marriage, we have to choose to stand. We have to, through whatever comes, whatever storm or amount of wind or trials or whatever happens, we have to make a decision that together we're better. That we have to make the decision that no matter what comes, that we choose to fight together. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And I read that scripture because how much are we supposed to love our wives? Are we supposed to love our wives until, like Sister Shell was saying earlier, until it's not a new car anymore, right? Are we supposed to love our wives until, you know, all heck breaks loose or whatever trial comes? Is that how far should our love for our wives go? The Bible says that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. And Christ didn't give up halfway to the cross. But Christ made it all the way up, was nailed to the cross and died for our sins. All the way. He went all the way. And that's the same kind of love. The Bible says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that same love that Christ has for us should be the same love that we have for our wives. That nothing would be able to come in between. Not a person, a thing, a situation, a storm, a trial. Nothing would be able to come in between the bond that God has formed when he brought two to become one. Now, things happen. Trials happen. You know, we have different opinions on which was the worst year of our marriage. Right? I always tell people when we're doing our premarital counseling, I always tell them, hey, the first year was the worst year. For me, that it was. Because my wife was a stubborn person and she was violent. At least according to me. At least according to me. I don't know, growing up, if like I grew up in like a, I grew up in a kind of middle class white family, right? My mom, when we got in trouble, she sent us to therapy, right? There was no like belt or spanking, right? So we got sat in the corner and we had to like, you know, talk about our feelings. Right? And that was discipline growing up. And that's why I became a meth addict. Amen. So, that does not work. But it was a culture shock because that when we got in arguments, I'd never seen my mom argue like she argued. Right? My mom was sweet and kind and loving. But it was different. It was different. I was getting to the first year, right? I'm not going to tell all the stories. There's a few of them that I could tell, but I'm not going to do that because of the sake of time and my marriage. So, but it was the worst. But she said that the first year was great for her, right? It was awesome, right? I'm an awesome dude, right? I'm loving and kind and, but, she said that the fifth year was the worst for her. And maybe I'll let her go into it more. But the point is that sometimes it's not always good. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes when you're going through it, things happen. It's like we say, you know, once you say something, you can never take it back. You can never take it back. Words are so devastating. And so, the point that I want to leave you in tonight, and I hope if you don't remember anything else, is that your words should never be final. You should never say words like, I'm leaving, or I want a divorce, or it's over, or any of those, or I hate you. You should never say any word, because those words you can never take back. You can never, ever take them back. Some things that you say, you can never take back. And so you have to make a decision that no matter what, that you're going to stand. Amen? And this is going to be our last point. Amen.
Amen. So the fifth year I felt was my worst year. Why? I don't know. I don't remember. All I know is I felt unhappy, if I could be real. I felt like, I don't know what I was feeling. But one thing I did know, because I feel like, that I just relied on God. Those are things to pray through. I know, again, feelings are feelings. Feelings come and go. And sometimes when I feel a certain way, I don't always go with what I'm feeling, because my feelings will lead me astray, you know? And one thing I do, and I had it in my notes, but I didn't say it earlier when I was talking about love. You can't have love without commitment. You have to be willing to commit to each other, no matter what. There's going to be times of having certain feelings or feeling unhappy or feeling whatever, just going through things. But it's love and commitment. You can't separate the two. If we love each other, we're committed to each other. Amen? And the last thing is, I choose to forgive. The Bible reads in Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. And, well, if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I want to read that because in marriage, we are going to do things that hurt each other. We're going to say things sometimes that we don't mean because we're human and sometimes we just say things. So you, like I said earlier, you will have arguments. You will have disagreements. You will say things you don't mean. But one thing we can't do is we can't stay mad. We can't live like that. We can't stay mad at each other. Really, we need to think what means the most to you. What means the most to me? My family. There's been times where you think about walking away. There's been times where whatever, whether it was in marriage and ministry and you have all these crazy thoughts like, I'm done. You know, I'm over it. But then, when I think about it, I know God speaks and he says those things. What really matters to you? My family matters to me, right? This family that God has given me, it's precious. It matters to me. The ministry he's given us together, it matters to me. So what I'm telling myself and what I feel God speaking is you need to get over it. Feelings are feelings. They're not final. Amen. That's why you base your walk on faith and not by sight. So what really means the most to you? And sometimes as married couples, instead of going down the path of forgiveness, sometimes we want to play the game and, you know, you stay on the couch tonight, can't stand you, you bother me, you know, or you leave for hours, you don't answer your phone. That's playing the game, folks. We don't play the game.
I never did that.
We never did that. Well, no. He's never did that. Just kidding. I never did that either. Calm down. Just kidding. But you think of these things. And I'm not saying there's times where you feel like that. We got an extra bedroom. Get on. You know, I don't want to, you bug me, you know. But even thinking those things, again, temptation is like temptation. We didn't act on it. But I'll tell you, I had the thoughts of that. Like, you bug me. I don't want to answer my phone. Like, just leave me alone, right? Or we get into a big old fight and we want to play the game. But really, don't play the games. Things are not final. You have to learn how to work through the problem at hand, the issues. If you could just sit down and communicate and not be offended all the time. Because sometimes we want to say something to our spouse, but I don't want to say it because it's just going to make it worse. He's just going to get mad at me or she's just going to get violent on me. Just kidding. Right? We want to share our heart. We want to say some things, but then we feel like, man, I just feel like you don't even care what I'm going through. And I know men and women are different, right? I get that. But sometimes we, even though you think, because sometimes I feel like I'm talking, but you think, you're not listening to me. Like, you don't understand what I'm saying. And he just says, I'm sorry. But sorry for what? Women are like, for what? Like, why are you sorry, right? Like, we're like, we want to know. Do you know? We want to know that you know what I know. And then that's where it creates all this, right? And it's funny, but it's true because that's just how we are. But even in that, being patient with my wife, give me your attention, you know, get off the game, look at me in the eye, right? Because sometimes men are like, we're fixed. Oh, I'm sorry. We're good. We're done. Yeah, okay. And we're like, what? Like, you didn't even, right? Anyways, so when we're in those heated.
That's because men are more efficient than women. Once we fix.
I'm not, see. Here you go. I don't know why he said that, but I apologize on behalf of my household. Just kidding. But forgiveness, back, let's bring it back. We have to work through our issues. You're going to have issues. You're not always going to get along, right? Sometimes we get upset. Well, you ain't disciplining the kids. And then he disciplines them like, why are you hitting it? What are you doing? Right? It's like we're on this emotional thing sometimes. But I'm just trying to be real. I'm just, it is what it is. So my bottom line here is we need to choose to forgive. Choose to forgive even if it hurts you to say I'm sorry. Some of us are real like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. You already know. No, they don't know. Sometimes you gotta say it. You know, I'm sorry. Because what does that do for your partner? That doesn't make him feel that you're just like walking all over them and you don't care about their feelings. This should be the number one relationship right here. You know, we shouldn't have to feel like we're walking on eggshells with each other. And if we do, again, we just sit down and talk. This is why I'm upset. And if they don't, it's okay. Some things, you gotta just learn how to agree to disagree. But we talked about it. I know where you're at. You know where I'm at. Praise God. But other stuff, again, it shouldn't be like, we're in this marriage and I can't even talk to you about anything. Right? Let me call someone who cares. We shouldn't say that either, but sometimes I do when I feel that way. But we shouldn't say that. There's times where you go through it that we should just be open communication. What are you saying to me? What are we doing here? And anyways, lastly, just like that scripture, bear with each other. That word bear, meaning it's heavy sometimes. It's not always easy. It is not always easy. And again, marriage is work. For newlyweds or you've been married longer than 15 years, it's like marriage is work. And it's kind of like you got to renew. You got to renew every year, every whatever, not just Valentine's Day or anniversaries. You guys, we need to make time for each other, not just say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to do it up because you know what? You really messed up this time. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we got to put ourselves aside and let's do something. Let's get away. It doesn't always have to be an event. I know I'm going off road here, but I just wanted to share that we got to spend time together. Amen. And really, I know sometimes it hurts to say sorry, but it hurts your partner more when you don't. Amen. Mike, sorry.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I hope we got something tonight. Like my wife said earlier, we're not we don't have it all together. Amen. We've just learned a few things as we go along our journey. Amen. But before we close and we go out and we have a good time, our outing, if you're able to join, it'd be great. Let's take a few moments, a minute, and really seek God and ask him, is there anything of these five things that we talked about that maybe you haven't made the decision? Maybe you haven't made the decision to love no matter what. The decision to compromise with each other. The decision to leave your father and mother and all those, and maybe you're out of order and you need to put your spouse in the right place. Maybe you need to choose to take a stand. Maybe trials, you know, the number one cause of divorce is financial things. How many know that when money gets funny, your honey gets funny too? Come on, somebody. We have to make a decision, no matter if we got a lot or a little, we have each other. So you need to choose to take a stand. And last, you need to choose to forgive. Now, there's some people that have been married for a short time and a long time. Others of you that are planning to get married. I think this is an awesome opportunity tonight to like really forgive each other. If there's anything that was said, done, any comment that was made or action that was taken, and make a fresh commitment. Make a choice. Make a decision tonight. Amen. So right there, if you just grab your partner's hand. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and turn the music up. We're just going to take a few moments. Amen. We're going to take a minute. And let's just go before the Lord with each other. Sometimes we have a prayer life and it's all about us. But let's take this opportunity to really focus on what's most important, our spouse, our family. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you tonight, God. Lord, we worship you. Father, we choose
tonight. Some of us
tonight,
are bowed down, some of us with our hands lifted.
We make a decision to love, Lord.
Our lives completely and totally.
No matter if it's been a year or 10 years or 50 years, God.
The word of agreement between
make a decision to love, Lord. Father, we make a decision, God, to choose our spouse, God. over everyone else, God. Father, you first, Lord, but then our spouse second. We make that decision tonight, God. Father, we make the decision to compromise with each other. That we know it's not about winning or losing. If one of us wins and one of us loses, then we both lose. Because we're on the same team. Oh, but Father, if one of us wins, we both win, God. Father, we make a decision to be flexible, to compromise, to understand each other. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we make the decision to stand no matter what. No matter if we have a lot, a little, if we have money, if we don't have money, if our cars break down, if whatever happens, God, if we lose jobs, Father, our relationship isn't based on any of those things, but it's based on two becoming one, no matter what, to stand our ground, Lord. And Father, finally, we make a decision to forgive each other right now. Anything that we might have said or done, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that we'd be able to move forward. All in the name of Jesus. All in the name of Jesus. Tell your partner, I choose you. I choose you. I still choose you. In 5 years, I'm still going to choose you.
Some of you don't even know what you're saying yes to, but you have to say it. Some of you have been running from God, but this is the moment.
Father, we thank you for our marriage right now, God. I thank you for my husband, Father. God, I pray over every marriage in this place, God. Father, we pray that you would be the leader in our marriages, Father God. God, I pray that we would cling to you, God, but cling to each other, oh Father God. And God, I just pray, God, if whatever we've been going through, God, or things that, whether we're having a difficult time compromising or forgiving, God, I pray that you would soften our hearts and we'd be sensitive to the needs of our spouse, Father God. And God, I just pray over our homes, the homes we're building together, oh God. Father, you know exactly where we're at in our lives, Father God. And God, we just leave it all in your hands. God, we pray for your wisdom, God. We pray for your love, Father. We pray for understanding with each other, oh God. And God, we leave this place, God, knowing that you are with us, oh God, that you're making a way for us, oh God. And we trust you together, oh God. And Father, I just pray that you would have your way, God. Bless every marriage in this place, Father. We pray your provision upon every marriage, God. We pray that you will go before us, God. We pray over our children, God, grandchildren, Father. We pray that you would just be with us, God. And Lord, that we would be stronger, that, Lord, just like the word says, that we would be like a three-cord strand, Father, that we would be the middle. You would be the center, God, that we would find strength in that, God. And Father, I just pray that you would have your way. I pray for every husband, God, as he leaves his home, God, that you would give him wisdom, God, that you would show him the way, God. I pray for every wife as she's a helpmate to her husband, God. God, I pray you give us wisdom, God, strength and to speak to us, Father God. And God, we just ask that you seal this all up, Father, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.